a funky beat. We're gonna walk inside and guess what's up? Put the food on my plate and some coke in my cup.
So we always talk about food on Wednesday on The Takeaways, and it happens to be a Wednesday in October, and many of us start seeing pumpkins appearing outside our grocery stores in October. Very often those pumpkins are going to be made into pie or they're carved into jack-o'-lanterns for Halloween, but there's other things you can do with them. Join us is Eli, food writer and author of Smokestack Lightning Adventures in the Heart of Barbecue Pumpkin. Pumpkin on the brain today, because that's what we're talking about. So pumpkin pie made from canned pumpkin, as we understand, was banned in your home when you were growing up.
Well, we were very religious in that regard. Fresh pumpkin was always on the agenda for us. And also one particular kind of pumpkin that doesn't look like the rest of them. It's called the Kershaw, which is like a crook-neck striped pumpkin. That was always our favorite.
Some people use that as a decoration in their home. Sometimes we see it glazed over so they can put it on their hearths in the fall. But you used it in recipes. Is it a different taste than the standard orange pumpkin?
A slightly different taste. You know, with pumpkin, you end up putting so much sugar in pie seasoning, that kind of thing, till those differences become as much about what you put in it as it is about the exact flesh of the pumpkin. So the taste was subtly different.
So we're also joined by Michael Crandall, food writer and author of The Great Little Pumpkin Cookbook. So, you know, it's so standard often in America for people to cook with canned pumpkins that you even see recipes where they tell you how many cans of pumpkin to use. Why don't we cook with real pumpkins?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. I actually think canned pumpkins aren't bad. I'm not one of these people who thinks...
You can't ruin a pumpkin is sort of the deal.
Well, you can't ruin a can of pumpkin. Right, right.
That's because it comes pre-ruined.
Well, maybe. But the thing about cooking a real pumpkin is that, in part, we're lazy.
Yeah, there is that.
So that... We want to open up a can and have it all ready to go. The other thing is that, you know, you get this big pumpkin. It's a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin mostly. And the problem with jack-o'-lantern pumpkins is they're actually lousy for cooking. So that people usually have had this bad experience. They buy the pumpkin. They carve it. They have it half rot. And then they start cooking it. And that's not how you make pumpkin pie.
Is it basically the deal here that you remove the butternut squash from the recipe and insert pumpkin, that they're interchangeable? Or is there something fundamentally different and new about the pumpkin in your view, Michael?
Well, there's nothing new about a pumpkin, obviously, right? But what you have is you have a whole bunch of different varieties of squashes. One of those varieties of squash is the pumpkin.
Right.
The problem is that the pumpkin, the jack-o'-lantern pumpkin, is lousy for pie.
Yeah, you have to get these the little ones. They call them pie pumpkins.
Yeah, pie pumpkins, Jack B. Little pumpkins, little guys. Or you buy something called a cheese pumpkin, which is my favorite for cooking pumpkin any old way.
What's a cheese pumpkin?
A cheese pumpkin is apparently called a cheese pumpkin because it kind of looks like a Gouda cheese. It's this big round thing that looks like a pumpkin.
Kind of flat.
But it's sort of flat, kind of tan. And it turns out that, you know the Cinderella story?
Yes.
Well, Cinderella, French story. Pumpkins are very popular in the south of France and other parts of France for cooking, for making into soup, for making into tarts, for making into a gratin. Well, if you look at those original illustrations of the pumpkin from the Cinderella story,
well, that turns into a coach. Right.
That's actually a cheese pumpkin.
Oh, okay. Well, it seems like she must have been rather short then, because I think of them as being kind of, you know.
Well, I'm talking about like old French illustrations, not Disney.
Okay.
Pre-Disney.
So, Lois, we've actually had a little bit of a pumpkin shortage. The pumpkin crop was short last year. So what kind of things can people do if they don't see pumpkins, if they don't see even canned pumpkins in their grocery store? What other things can we do if they want to do something different?
Well, if we look at the other kinds of pumpkins, if we look at the non-jack-o'-lantern pumpkins like the Kershaw, you got possibilities there of either pie or what we call a pone, which is in essence a crustless pie. So you do the same kind of ingredients you might with sugar, butter, eggs, and just bake it without a shell. There's one easy way to do it.
Are they interchangeable? Are all of these different pumpkins that you're talking about interchangeable?
Yeah, they are actually. They really are. I mean, the drag about pumpkin is that no matter which one you do, unless you do the can thing, which actually can work, you end up having to do two steps. You cut it up and boil it, get the meat out, and then cook it the way you want to cook it. But once you get to that step, all of them can be done basically the same recipes.
So, Michael, one of the things you talk about in The Great Little Pumpkin is how much Europeans use pumpkins, actually more than Americans do, in their cooking anyway. And I'm wondering, can we use the same, do we find the same pumpkins here as you're finding from these recipes that come from Europe?
Yeah, you do. In fact, that cheese pumpkin is more or less the same thing. And just to throw in more confusion into the mix.
Yes.
The kashaw, which I always think somebody should say, you know, gesundheit the minute they say it. Kashaw. The kashaw, there's actually two different kinds that are totally unrelated. And the one that Lois is talking about is a, looks like a big sort of crooked club. There is another one that is, in fact, also called a kashaw, which looks like a big round cheese pumpkin. And that's, in fact, what Libby's uses for their pumpkin puree.
Interesting.
But to get back to your question, what was your question?
I was just wondering.
They're available, though.
Yeah, you can find
get
them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Farmers markets have them, and fancy food stores seems like they have them these days, too.
Okay, Michael Crondo, food writer, author of The Great Little Pumpkin Cookbook. Also, Lois Eric Eli, takeaway contributor, author of Smokestack Lightning, Adventures in the Heart of Barbecue Country.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.